You know, all of last year, we had one sermon series that we were in called Preach Jesus. And kind of the point of that was simply a desire for you to see Jesus, to get a glimpse of who he is. But once you see Jesus, once you experience him, what's next? Well, the what's next is we worship him. I mean, you can see it all through the gospel stories when people had these encounters with Jesus, and when they finally realize who he really is, man, the next thing is they just fall in worship of him. That's our first response. Worship is our first response. That's why we just finished this series looking at worship in our lives. But then what? What comes next after that? Well, there is this little simple phrase that Jesus used over and over again when he was interacting with people that describes the what's next. Now listen, when Jesus encountered people, you don't see him telling them, listen, you just need to go to church more. You just need to go to church more. You don't hear him saying, you need to try harder. You don't hear him saying, look, you just gotta be good. But he did say the same thing over and over again, and it was just a two-word invitation. And what he said was, follow me. Follow me. He said it then, and he says it now to you, to go with him on a journey. Jesus was essentially offering to be our guide. And as our guide, he is able to take us to places, to see things that we would never see, that we would never go without him. You know, last month, Diane and I had the opportunity to go with some friends, and we traveled to Iceland. And one of the highlights of the trip for me, without a doubt, was seeing the volcanic glacier ice cave that we went to. Now listen, the only way that you could get there, the only way that you could go there was if you had a guide. And they advertised this thing as a Jeep tour, but let me tell you, it was some kind of Jeep. It was this massive vehicle. I think there were 18 seats in that vehicle. But then you had to follow your guide. You did have a guide who took you out on the glacier into the cave. And the guide's job is to show you where we are going. His job is literally to keep you safe and to warn you of pitfalls. For example, one of these things that he warned us about is that lava glaciers actually have quicksand, and he showed us this place where he had fallen through the glacier just the day before. But ultimately, his job is to help you see things that you would never otherwise see. Now, it was very clear that to arrive safely at our destination, you had to walk closely. You had to follow closely. You know, it's interesting to me that when Jesus said, follow me, it was mission critical for believers to follow him, and it still is. It is mission critical for the church. In fact, those words, follow me, kind of define the church. When you come to the book of Acts, five different times in the book of Acts, the church is simply called the people of the way. In other words, they're following in the way that Jesus went. His followers are following his way. And these verses show up over and over again. I'm not going to read them all, but I want you to see some of them. Talks about followers of the way, speaking against the way, follow the way. These verses are there. Are you following in his way? Listen, the church understood that her mission was all about following Jesus, that when he said, follow me, that's what we're still doing to this day. We are to follow him. It was an invitation to a way of life. So from this point forward, in this year, much of the year to come, we're going to be focusing on this idea of what does it mean to follow his way? What does it mean to be going through the motions of Jesus? Are you following him? Now, I understand that phrase, going through the motions, can kind of have a negative connotation, can't it? It means, you know, kind of half-hearted, not really trying, you're just sort of showing up, you're not putting much effort into it. That's not what I mean by going through the motions. Going through the motions can have a deeper meaning. Think about an athlete who is learning to master a skill. For example, think about a swimmer. How many laps does a great swimmer have to swim in order to master a stroke? You know, they're not just shown the stroke one time, okay, now you're a great swimmer. No, they have to go through the motions over and over again before they really master it. Or think about a baseball player. How many times do they have to be at bat? How many times do they have to be taught to field a ground ball or to throw a pitch before they really get it? You see, they have to go through the motions over and over again. And there is this regimen of discipline that's required before they can ever do their best. Or think of a dancer. How many times does a dancer have to go through the motions of a routine before they have mastered a dance? Listen, literally going through the motions is how it becomes a dance. And the same thing is true in your life and in my life as we learn to go through the motions, the rhythms, the disciplines of what it means to really follow Jesus in this faith journey. We are not going to experience all that he has for us if we do not follow his invitation to come follow him. And let me tell you, prayer is one of the key essential movements that is necessary if we long to go deeper with him. So for the next 6 weeks, beginning today, I want to invite you on a faith adventure of prayer with our guide, Jesus, as he invites us to go deeper with him, to follow him, to learn his way. Let's discover together what he will show us. So if you would, open your Bibles today to Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11. We're going to be reading there in just a minute, just four verses. And listen, if we've not yet met, let me introduce myself to you. My name's Kevin. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're so glad that you are here. Would love the opportunity to meet you in the commons. Another way that we can connect is we ask everybody every week to fill out that digital connect card. Easiest way to do that, scan that QR code on your listening guide. That'll take you to the program. Listen, there's a lot going on this summer. That program has all kinds of information, VBS coming up this week. But at the top of that program guide, you'll see a link that says Digital Connect Card, and we can connect with you through that. So take a moment and to fill that out. Now, before I read this prayer encounter with Jesus, let me just state what I think is obvious, and it is verifiably true. And that is simply this truth. We all already pray. We pray. Listen, Gallup has reported that more people pray in any given week than exercise. And I thought, well, duh, yeah. You know, some of us pray that we don't have to exercise, right? They say we pray more than we drive a car. They say we pray more than we go to work. Everybody prays. Barna, a great researcher, has talked about how believers and atheists alike pray. 79% of Americans say we pray. 50% of us say we pray every day. So what I'm talking about is something that's already a part of our life. I just want to remind you that we all pray. In fact, I was reminded of how true that was this past fall, something that many of you will remember. You may remember there was an NFL football game in which a player by the name of Damar Hamlin suddenly collapsed on the field. Do you remember that? Do you remember what the immediate response was on the field by his team, by the opposing team, by the stadium of spectators? Listen, they were all praying. And maybe you even saw this video from ESPN NFL Live the next day. Watch this video.
Football gave me everything. You know, and I think even through the midst of absolute tragedy last night, I think you saw some of the beauty of football as well, that it's brought us all here together. This is a little bit different. I've heard it all day, like thoughts and prayers. And you just heard Scherf and Jonathan Allen say, like, all we can do is pray for him. And I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say that we believe in prayer. And maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it is.
Damar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him. God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you has impact. We're sad. We're angry. And we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray, truly come to you and pray for strength for Damar, for healing for Damar, for comfort for Damar, to be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up Damar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, we all pray. Jesus says, follow me into this adventure of prayer. Prayer is part of the rhythm and the movement of life. And we have a choice. We can just kind of go through the motions. Or, with intentionality, we can go through the motions that Jesus teaches us in prayer. You see, the truth is, you're not so different than these disciples that we're about to read who came to Jesus with a request. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. The disciples come to Jesus at a certain place, and one of them speaks for all of them, saying, Lord, teach us to pray. Have you ever felt that in your own life, that you just wish that there was somebody that could teach you to pray? Listen, I am in my 40th year of ministry, and I just got to tell you, confess honestly to you, I still often feel like a novice when it comes to practicing prayer. But I know this, even a novice can learn to follow after Jesus. If the disciples did, we can as well. In fact, notice this. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them about prayer, Jesus did not say to them, well, listen, there's this really great study course that you need to go through. Jesus didn't say to them, listen, there's this book that I want you to buy, and when you read that, it's going to change everything. Jesus didn't say to them, listen, there's this program that you need to complete. And let me just say, all of those things can be great resources and tools and be very helpful. But instead, I want you to see that essentially what Jesus said to them when they said, teach us to pray, is he said this, let me introduce you to our Father. And that's where it all begins. You see, the beginning of prayer is understanding that prayer is relationship. Prayer is relationship. Now, the disciples had been watching Jesus constantly stepping away in prayer. I mean, look at this. Mark 1:35 says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out in an isolated place to pray. Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, Luke 11, all these times they're watching Jesus as he steps away and goes into prayer. You see, Jesus was constantly connecting with our Father. Constantly connecting with him. Prayer is relationship. Jesus was meeting with his Father, and he invites us to get with our Father. You see, prayer isn't about getting what we want. Prayer isn't about getting more of what we want. Prayer isn't about getting our way. Prayer is ultimately about getting with our Father. You know, since August of 2020, I have invited you as a church to join me in a specific prayer. Every day at 2:42, my watch vibrates, and that is a reminder that nudges me to pray Acts chapter 2, verse 42 over the church. Specifically, what I'm praying for is to see an Acts 2 movement of God here at New Work Fellowship. I mean, if it happened then, why not now? If it happened there, why not here? And so I pray that every day. And out of that prayer time this past fall, when I was on sabbatical, I've shared with you how I sensed the Father say to me, Kevin, there's nothing wrong with your prayer. But for that to happen, you have to go deeper in prayer. The church must go deeper in prayer. If you long for the church to rise, the church must kneel in prayer. In other words, prayer, first of all, calls me into a deeper relationship, a deeper walk with my Heavenly Father, and that requires a couple of things. First of all, it requires that I have to show up. I have to show up. Let me tell you, Jesus was relentless in the rhythm of prayer in his life, and the disciples noticed that. Every time they turn around, they see that he's off spending time in prayer. Listen, by the time you come to Luke chapter 11, I want you to just listen for a minute to some of the things that they'd already seen Jesus do. And this is not an exhaustive list. In fact, this is a very short list. But they'd already seen Jesus where he healed a leper. They saw Jesus heal a man that was paralyzed. They listened to him teach the Sermon on the Mount. They watched when a centurion came who had a son who was sick. And Jesus healed him and didn't even go see the son or go to the house. He just said the word and the man was healed. He had raised a dead widow's son to life. He cast out demons. He calmed the storm. He fed 5,000 people. Just a few examples. And listen, I just got to be honest. I tell you, I think if I'd seen all of that, and I wanted to come with Jesus with one request, it might have been something other than teach me to pray. I think my question might have been, Jesus, would you teach me to heal like you heal? Listen, sometimes it is overwhelming in the church when you see the lives that are struggling. Lord, just give me that. Or Lord, could you teach me to raise the dead? Or my request might be, could you teach me to preach like you preach? But when they come to Jesus with one question, they're like, would you teach us to pray like you pray? Because they understood that was the fuel behind everything else that happened. They'd watched him And listen there in verse 1 where it says that Jesus is at a certain place and they come to him when he's finished. It's almost this picture that they'd hunted him down and they show up and they say, teach us to go deeper in prayer. And listen, if we long to go deeper with God as a church, it's just going to require all of us showing up with the Father, praying, God, I want you. God, I want to know you. I want to do life with you. It's not about the things we want. It is about God that we want. You show up and you look up. You see, prayer is to remind us that there's so much in this world that's beyond us. I mean, there is, isn't it? At times, it's beyond us. Listen, do you ever feel overwhelmed in life? Just kind of like you don't know which way to turn? Listen, right now in our family, we're in one of those seasons for about 3 months now. We've been in one of those seasons where it's like, we're kind of overwhelmed. And there are others of you that I know you're in that season where you just feel overwhelmed. A diagnosis captures you completely by surprise. Someone that you love is in jeopardy, or a death steals away a loved one, or a relationship crashes and you didn't even see it coming, and you find yourself overwhelmed. Listen, did you know that the word prayer and the word precarious have the same root word? That ought to tell us a little something about what prayer really is. We pray because life is precarious. We pray when we are overwhelmed. We pray when our want is beyond our ability to provide. We pray sometimes when we just marvel at the great goodness and the gifts of life. Listen, I pray when I sense how small and insignificant I am in this world. I've come to realize that's one of the reasons why I love to travel. There is just something about seeing the bigness of this world and then remembering that this world is actually just this tiny little speck in this magnificent universe. And our God is even bigger than that. And when you think about this bigness of God, and when I realize how small and insignificant I am, and then it hits me, and this big God is still interested in me, and he knows my name, and he cares for me, and he loves me, and I just look up in wonder at who he is. You see, what I want you to understand through these next 6 weeks is that prayer isn't a duty to be performed. It's not a program that you and I will master. It's a relationship. It is you getting to know your heavenly Father. And so the disciples come to Jesus and they said, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? And essentially Jesus says, I'd be delighted to. Let me introduce you to our Father. Prayer is relationship. And the second thing I want you to get today is this, that prayer is presence. Listen, in any relationship that we have, in order for us to grow in any relationship that we have, it requires presence. Have you noticed that? I mean, if I want my relationship with my wife, Diana, to grow, to deepen, I got to be present. If I want my relationship with my kids or with my grandkids to deepen, I've got to be present. Listen, just this weekend, just last night, all four of my grandkids were at the house, and we were having a great time, and we'd had supper, and they wanted to swim. Out they went. I was cleaning up the kitchen. It was like the Holy Spirit nudged me. Kevin, They won't remember that you cleaned up the kitchen. You need to be in the pool with them. It requires presence, does it not? Listen, around here at the church, we often say leadership is partnership. Well, guess what? If leadership is partnership, it means those who are partnering together have to be present with each other. To go deeper in prayer means that you have to be present with the Father. I mean, think about this. Jesus prayed. Paul prayed. Peter prayed. On just about every page in the Bible, when you're reading, somebody is praying. So will you show up and be present? You know, for years I've talked to you about chair time, right? Having that space where you meet God in His Word. And if you've never done it, I encourage you to take baby steps, 15 minutes in His Word every day, same place. But let me tell you, the same thing is true for prayer. Where will you meet Him? Where will you gather in His presence? You need a place. Do you have a place? I mean, think about this. In the Old Testament, God provided His people with a place. He gave them a tabernacle. You know what they called that? They called it the tent of meeting, or the place of His presence. And so the people would meet, and then there was a temple. It was a place where God met His people. I love this. The Celtic Christians, think Ireland, Middle Ages, they talked about thin places. And what thin places were simply this. It was this idea that there are places where it seems like the space between heaven and earth get really thin, and you encounter God and you experience His presence because God shows up. Where is it in your life that you have that thin place where you meet with your heavenly Father? You see, Jesus had a certain place, is the way our translation put it. So if you're following Him, you're going to need a place. You need a place, and then you need a time. You need a time. Mark 1:35 said this, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. I love to walk in the early morning before it's light. That's one of my prayer times. Jesus had a prayer time that was early time. Maybe that's not your time. Your time doesn't have to be exactly the same time that He had. But get this, Jesus had more than one time. One of those verses we looked at earlier, it talked about Jesus praying all night. That was another time that He prayed. And listen, Jesus often prayed with His disciples at the regular times of prayer, so He's praying with His followers. The point is simply this. There was a regular prayer rhythm in the life of Jesus. What is your prayer rhythm in life? Maybe you could pray in the early morning. Maybe that could be your time. Maybe you can pray before you ever take that first sip of coffee, and you connect that to spending time with the Father. Maybe you could pray at lunchtime, or maybe for you it's at the end of the day, kind of, you know, looking back on how God's been with you. In the weeks to come, we're going to be laying out a number of rhythms of prayer that you can weave into your life. But today I just want to tell you, it takes a place, and it takes time. And listen, that all comes down to the third thing there, and that is desire. There has to be a desire in you. Prayer is about showing up, slowing up and showing up. It's not just a skill or a discipline to master. It's really more about surrender. That's really what prayer is. It's about surrender. It's bringing your life under His authority, taking all that you are before God. Richard Foster put it this way. He said, by praying, we learn to pray. Sometimes we think, well, when I learn to pray, then I'll pray. No, you learn to pray just by praying. Mother Teresa put it this way. If you want to pray, do it now. In other words, prayer is more practice than it is theory. And here's the thing. None of us are experts. All of us are learning. And we're all on a journey. And so what I'm challenging you to do today is, hey, let's go on this journey together. Let's learn to follow Jesus into the rhythm of prayer. And I know this, it's not too late, because prayer is a relationship. Prayer is His presence. So let's follow Him and go through the motions with Him and learn from Him. And I can just tell you, if He is your guide, He is going to show you incredible things that you will never find on your own. You know, when we came to the end of that ice cave tour, our guide brought us into the center of this volcanic crater, and we stood there in this great depression all the way around us, 360 degrees, and we were surrounded by these glaciers that are rising up around us. There were waterfalls cascading. There were streams of fresh melt that were rushing past us, and it was just absolutely spectacular. But let me tell you, I never would have seen it if I hadn't followed my guide. And when Jesus says to you, follow me, I want you to know He's not just showing you the way to heaven. He wants to show you the way to life here and now. That's why He said, I have come that they might have life and that they would have it to the full. And so He's inviting you to come on the adventure, to come and see what He has for you, to go through His motions of prayer and follow Him. Listen, our band is going to come back out in just a moment. And let me just say this. None of us are experts. None of us haven't mastered. All of us are learning. We're all on a journey. And so this is what I want us to do today. I just want us to begin together. Let's just begin together. And so what I'm going to invite you to do is I'm going to invite you to group up 3 to 5 people. And yes, if you really want to pray by yourself and don't want to pray with anybody else, nobody's going to enforce it. But let me encourage you to pray together. And we're going to group up. And listen, I just want you to share real quick. This is a prayer need in my life. This is something I'm praying about. And then I'm going to ask one of you, to just be brave and to say a quick prayer for those in your group. And then I'll close out our prayer time sharing a prayer for all of us. Listen, we all pray. Jesus says, let me introduce you to our Father. So let's just follow Him. All right, go ahead, group up. Share a quick prayer request. One of you can pray, and in just a moment, I'll finish our time of prayer. It is so good to see you praying for each other. If you haven't started praying yet, one of you, be brave. You lead the way. Let's all pray together. Father God, like the disciples, we want to follow Jesus. And he invites us on this adventure to get to know you better. And so, our Father, we come to you asking that you would lead us and direct us, that we would come and go deeper with you, that we would experience life to the full, and so that we as your people would be a beacon of hope for all of those in our world who pray already, but they may not know you. Father, help us to follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me invite you to stand, and we're going to have a song of response. If there's a need in your life, this is your opportunity.